You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today will be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we do ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, again, it's an honor to delve into your word. And we pray, Lord, that we always be sensitive and aware of the fact that you are by our side, that your Comforter is here, that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And now we pray, Lord, that this truth will be made known, that we might be the messenger that can bring it to all who will hear, and all who will open their ears and be aware of what your word has to offer to those that are hungry for it. So, Lord, we just pray that this time will be in honor of your Son, that we might be pleasing to you, because we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. When in pursuit of being enabled to stand against the schemes of the devil, Paul instructs us in the Ephesian letter to take the shield of faith. And he begins by saying, above all, I know there how many of us had were aware of this. Probably all of you were, but I wasn't. I wasn't even though we read sometimes scripture every week, every day, sometimes we miss a few words, even one word sometimes, that can be very important. And this this word above all in the sixteenth verse, where it says above all, taking the shield of the faith, that would convey to me that faith is the most important thing of the spiritual armor. Hebrews, the faith chapter, tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And maybe even one step further, without faith, it's impossible to know God. How can you know the everlasting Father, the maker of everything? How can you know him without faith? Let's look at, turn your book to Romans chapter 5. First two verses there in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's no other way we can have access into the grace of God without the faith coming first. Before we have any hope, before we could have any hope, of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, it was necessary for God first to extend this grace and mercy to us, which He faithfully did when He sent His only begotten Son to the earth to save us. Therefore, when we sang, "Great is Thy faithfulness, my Father," salvation is God's gift to us by His grace through faith, and it's manifested in and through Christ Jesus. Our faith in the work of Christ at Calvary is wrought together with Christ's faith when He died for our sins, which becomes a saving faith. We have our faith and Christ's faith, and they come together as a saving faith. If then we already have been saved by faith at conversion, then how do we take this shield of faith as part of our spiritual armor? Not only do we need faith to be able to stand before God, but we also need an ongoing faith to enable us to stand against the wicked one and quench the fiery darts that he throws at us. And they will no doubt be armed, be aimed and armed in our direction, because we are God's children. He doesn't like God's children. Let's look at, turn to Matthew in chapter 17. We'll be looking at verse 20. Matthew 17:20. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." No matter how small our faith is at its beginning, It is necessary for it to grow and become, if possible, even though it's a mustard seed to begin with, to become a mustard herb until we are completely covered as with a shield. If faith is the gift of God, then how is it possible for our faith to grow? Well, we could do as the disciples did and ask the Lord to increase our faith, because only the Lord can give us the kind of protection that is likened unto a shield. "The Lord is my strength and my shield," said King David. And let's take a look at an incident that in 1 Samuel 17. Turn there with me. We'll see how this faith was manifested with David when he was a young man. 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 38. And here again, when we talk about the story of David and Goliath, we sometimes overlook the fact that David was armed with his armor. And Saul armed David, verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on the helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon the armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give my flesh unto the fowl, thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. And said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is God in Israel. Verse 49, And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his head and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and drew his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. David was armed with the faith that he had in the Lord. He did not need the armor that Saul put on him. He threw it off because it was of no benefit to him. Not only do we have the faith to be able to stand before God, but we need an ongoing faith to enable us to stand against the wicked one and quench his fire darts, which there will no doubt be aimed in our direction, that we've read before. Here he speaks of a faith likened to a grain of mustard seed, which is the tiniest of all. No matter how small our faith begins, as we mentioned before, it is the greatest of all herbs, the mustard seed. If faith is a gift of God, then we need to find out how to make it even grow more from that mustard seed. God is a sun and a shield, the psalmist said. Why? Because he trusted in his name in the case of David. Faith stands in the power of God. We learn that from 1 Corinthians. Therefore, learning to put our enemies, our complete trust in the Lord of all situations, in a way of walking forward in faith. We need to be able to say, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As could the Apostle Paul say. Israel was chosen by God to be his own special people because of the faith of their forefather Abraham. Even so, on many occasions, Christ was driven to say to them, O ye of little faith. On both occasions when Jesus commanded the faith of others, we see it was the Gentiles who were the recipients of his praise. You know, the case of the centurion, and also the case of the woman of Canaan. He told each one of them how great their faith was. And because he did this to the Gentiles, it was in no way to say that that the Israelites had no faith, because we have the faith chapter of those heroes of great faith. In And we see the names of the many that belong to that era. It is also in this chapter of the Hebrews that we find the definition of faith. And we're familiar with that definition, most of us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, for us today, looking forward in assurance to the hope that God has promised us in the heavenly places far above all, is the definition of true faith. Abraham, among many others, had this kind of faith. He saw this far off and died in faith, not having received the promises. We're familiar with that verse in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. God made a promise to Abraham. He was not the only one to be his shield, but also his exceeding great reward. Now here's a situation where I think it was one of the first times that God had talked to one of his heroes of faith about a great reward. To such ones who are overcomers of faith, not only salvation, but also a reward is in view. For the company mentioned in Hebrews 11 that we just talked about, we see that this is connected with a heavenly city, which is referred to as a better country, associated with a better resurrection. God having planned something better. Although the wicked one cannot rob us of our inheritance to come, he can rob us of our reward. Colossians points out that all that spoil our present walk with God if we don't use the shield of faith to protect us. The letter to the Hebrews was written to encourage the Hebrew Christians who had already put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to go on to the end and bring their faith to perfection. To inspire them to do this, Paul first gave the example of Christ and his faithfulness, and then the example of these men and women of great faith in chapter 11 that we just talked about. With this in view, chapter 12 opens with these words: "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us." And that sin was the sin of unbelief, which was put upon the Jews. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Likewise, Paul's letter to the Philippians is on a parallel with the letter to the Hebrews. But this time it's encouraging the Gentile believers in this dispensation to walk on in faith. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul gives an example of Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient and faithful even to death on the cross. Because of this, God exalted him to the highest place possible at his own right hand. Then Paul follows with this example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. And lastly, his own example, Paul speaks of his own pursuit after the goal to win the prize associated with a better resurrection, and as we know it, the out-resurrection from the dead. Paul encourages his brothers to walk after his own example, to work out their own salvation, or outworking of faith, and in this, to stand firm in the Lord. although the scriptures show that we are saved by faith apart from works, and that was found in Ephesians, it goes on to say that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I think this is important for the Christian to realize that the good works cannot come before faith. The faith, the good works, is a product of faith. There's much written about the works, particularly in James. In other words, good works should accompany faith, as it was with Abraham. While Abraham was justified before God by his faith, his good work that followed justified his faith and proved that he had a living faith. Genesis shows that Abraham was justified before God for his faith, by his faith, long before the great outworking of faith. The offering of his own son Isaac brought his faith to perfection and thereby justified his faith by its accompanying works. Faith itself, expressed in love, is what is really what counts. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5. This brings that out real clear. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's the only thing that availeth. Abraham offered his son Isaac, foreshadowed offering of his son Isaac, foreshadowed the greatest expression of love ever shown to man. That is, when God the Father offered his only begotten son on our behalf. Therefore, our faith in what God did here must be interwoven with the essential ingredient of love. It's an ongoing faith interwoven that with love that will help us to stand when attacks come from the spiritual forces of darkness. When I see that about ongoing faith, it reminds me of the commercial we used to see many years ago about the I think it was the Timex watch. It keeps on ticking and keeps on ticking. So this is an ongoing faith that keeps going on and on and on, interwoven with love. Let's don't forget that, and that helps us to stand when the attacks from Satan and the spiritual forces of darkness come upon us. We can be sure that such attacks will come, and in many forms. It could be in the form of dissension or even ridicule by those who can only see faith in God as foolish. Perhaps attacks will come in the form of a philosophical argument from the wisdom of this world. Faith in the truthfulness of God's word will remind us that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Knowledge of God's word of truth can strengthen our faith when such attacks come our way. And this is how faith becomes a shield to our loins that are girded with truth. I think of about a faith that maybe is apropos when we hear the stories about the miracle healings and that are supposed to heal the body for some disease. And when this doesn't happen, they tell them, well, your faith wasn't strong enough. But I'm wondering if their faith had been strong through the Word. This is the only way that you can strengthen your faith, is through the Word. Then those people might not have been there in the first place looking for a miracle cure coming from man. So the faith that comes from the knowledge of God is the only thing that that can keep on strengthening our faith as we walk day by day. The shield of faith is maneuverable and can therefore protect the part of the armor that's under attack. If someone, individual or Satan, which is where it comes from, throws something at your head, your helmet of salvation, and says, it causes you to say, well, am I really saved? Then we know that God has told us that that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And it's through committing these type of verses to memory that causes us to withstand the darts that the devil throws at us. Even in many cases, I imagine all of you know have heard Mac tell of the story that committing, calling to from memory a verse that he had saved his life. A verse that he had committed to memory when he was in the Boy Scouts. So this is how important the Word of God is in our mind. When those things are thrown at us, we need to be able to reject the devil and his gang when those things come at us. Another one could be if someone is questioning our righteousness, because our righteousness comes from Christ Jesus, who gives it to us. And that would be pretty well directed at our breastplate of righteousness. So imagine this, the shield of faith in the reading of our scripture. You notice it did not pinpoint it anywhere, like the loins of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Those things are fixed. Those parts of our armor are fixed. The shield of faith is ever moving. So when something is directed at our helmet of salvation, the shield of faith moves up and protects us against the darts that are thrown. If something is directed toward our loins of truth, it moves down and protects us against the evil, the untruth that is thrown at us. So it's a very very important part of our armor, the shield of faith. And David, look at Psalm 40, where we hear again from David. Psalm 40. This is a situation where God's word will show us that by our repentance, God can lift us up again, so that we're standing upon that rock with a new song in our mouth, as he did when David. He says, verse 1, chapter Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently on the Lord, for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, and out of the fiery, miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and hear, and shall trust in the Lord. So even though when we are knocked down, the Lord can bring us back, and even in doing so, put a new song in our heart, in our mouth. Much encouragement comes through the letters that Paul, to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. By continuing on in the faith, not moving away from the gospel of which Paul became a minister, we will be prepared to stand our ground when anyone challenges the hope that is in us. We will not be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. Neither will we be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine devised by the trickery of men lying in wait to deceive us, and therefore spoil our peace with God. We will be able to stand steadfast in faith through Christ Jesus, the shield of faith, thereby protecting our feet, shod with the gospel of peace. Faith, which is the gift of God, is in Christ Jesus. He is the one who revealed and demonstrated to us God's faithfulness by providing a Savior. He is the one who became the faithful and merciful High Priest when at His death He gave His life for us. He is the faithful and true witness, and He is called faithful and true in the book of Revelations. He is the faithful Lord who has called us and will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who will enable us to fight the good fight of the faith. He is our shield of faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that You have given us the armor that we need. And we pray, Lord, that each day that we would look to Your Word, which is the place to increase our faith, and that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We pray, Lord, that by knowing Your Word and committing it to memory, that we might be in turn be able to give this to those who may not know it. And so we pray this day, Lord, that if there be someone in hearing of this, that they don't know You, don't know Your Son, that they will become restless and not rest until they belong to You. These things we lift up and ask that it might be in Your will to sanctify everything, because we ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.